Window World, the official windows of the Kansas City Chiefs, presents Kevin Keatsman Has Issues, online at windowskansascity.com.
Boy, are we jam-packed with good stuff on this Monday. Happy new week to all of you, and thanks for joining us at Kevin Keatsman Has Issues. It's going to be a hot one, but not nearly as hot as they say. That'll be the second part of the podcast. Can you believe the high at KCI on Sunday was only 94 degrees? That's right. They're coming up with a whole bunch of record heat indexes, whatever that is. Heat index, I assume, has changed over the years, while the actual temperature doesn't really change. How they gauge that is the temperature. We'll have a whole bunch for you on that. I couldn't believe it. Everybody's talking about these extreme heat. The high on Sunday was 94 at KCI. That'll lead us off in the news portion, the second half of this podcast. If I'm a little raspy here on this Monday morning, we did some yelling Saturday night at the Billy Joel concert at Arrowhead Stadium because it was obviously loud and it was over 3 hours long. And if you're going to try to talk or say anything to anybody you're around, you're going to be screaming a lot. I try to avoid that. When I go to sporting events, I always whistle instead of holler to save the throat. But I may be just a little bit rough on the edges here with the vocal cords on this Monday. My apologies for that. We will start with the Kansas City Chiefs, who traveled to Arizona and just kicked the living daylights out of the Arizona Cardinals, a team that will not be good this year, is not good, has no idea where it's going. Their direction is awful. It's preseason. We are not going to overanalyze any of this. There are often, like, if the Chiefs lined up in week one and we're playing the Cardinals for real, I would tell you it's far different than playing them in the preseason. The Chiefs clearly got a message from their coach after the first game that they weren't ready to play. We need to take this seriously. Go out on this game and play it like this means something. Everybody at every level, like it matters. And I suspect we will not see the same attention to detail and all of that with the final game coming up this week in the preseason. We might not even see Patrick Mahomes play in this last game, which will be at Arrowhead after they put new sod in tomorrow. The new sod is coming tomorrow. The concert's finished, so they'll put the grass in. Can you believe they're going to play a game this weekend and there's no sod on the field yet? It's going to be great. We like all that, but the Chiefs were spectacular in Arizona on Saturday night. There's no other way to say it. Patrick Mahomes said after the game, Mahomes was good in the game. Not great, but he was good. He said, quote, "I played the worst of everybody," unquote, meaning the three quarterbacks. Okay, full disclosure, when the Chiefs got Shane Buechele, I was pretty excited because they didn't have to draft him. I knew, and I'm not a big recruiting guy, okay, out of high school, like whatever, but this guy was a big-time recruit out of high school. He went to the University of Texas. He might have been the number one quarterback in the country that year. And went to Texas, and like a lot of things at Texas, it doesn't really work out. And he transferred to SMU, where he just smashed records and just threw and threw and threw and lit up the scoreboard and passed for a gazillion yards at SMU, but nobody saw it because he was playing at SMU. And then for whatever reason, he didn't get drafted. He has all the measurables. This guy has everything you could possibly want. And what I really liked about it when the Chiefs acquired him was I said, well, look at the pattern this fits in this city. We love Patrick Mahomes. We love the fact, how many times have you heard people say, well, Mahomes had a great advantage because his dad was a big league athlete and he grew up around that and he was in the locker room and his dad was a pitcher and all these other things. We've heard that a million times and we believe that. We watched the Royals draft Bobby Witt Jr. and they said the same thing. Oh, he grew up around Major League Baseball. He's got to step up on everyone. He's been in the clubhouse. He's been on the field for batting practice. He has been around Major League Baseball his entire life because his dad played in the big leagues for 13 years. We've heard that over and over and over. I've heard it enough to sort of believe it, and I've seen enough. I'm friends with Brian McCray, who obviously grew up, was a tremendous athlete, turned down playing college football to be a baseball player, following his dad's footsteps, and it worked out very well for Brian. He played many years in the major leagues, made a bunch of money, had a nice career, good dude, all those things. And he said to me many times, growing up around this was a big deal. Being around my dad, being around the team, it's a big, big thing. That's Shane Buechele. His dad, Steve Buechele, was a player and played for a long time. And it fits the mold of everything going on in Kansas City. Not many people know this. How Shane Buechele became sort of an unknown, undrafted football player, quarterback to me, is it's wild, to be honest. It's crazy. I thought when the Chiefs acquired him, it would take a very short period of time for him to be the backup to Patrick Mahomes. They're friends. They have everything in common. They're both from the Dallas area. Their dads know each other. This fits into this neat little thing. Mahomes, I think, is 3 years older than Bouchel. It fits into this neat little thing that just feels right about the Chiefs. Watching Shane Bouchel play, you see the way he steps around the pocket, the way he moves, the throws he's made, and even the touchdown run on Saturday night. He is not Patrick Mahomes, but he plays like Patrick Mahomes. You can see how it's rubbed off over these 3 years here in Kansas City that he has studied and watched and understands the offense and does all these things. I thought this was the year. Before the Chiefs signed Blaine Gabbert, I just assumed Bouchel was going to be the backup. I thought the Chiefs had seen enough in practice. They liked the young man and thought, well, this is the guy. This is the guy that's ready. We're going to go this way, and Bouchel is going to be the man. Then they signed Blaine Gabbert. They didn't sign him for much money. It's less than $1.1 million they're paying to Blaine Gabbert, who was also terrific on Saturday night, by the way. Gabbert, let's not, you know, parse any words here. 7 out of 8 for 120 yards and 2 touchdowns. Pretty nice night for Blaine Gabbert. He's been around the league a while. Andy likes veteran backup quarterbacks. The question I have is, having seen Bouchel for 3 years on the practice field and in the preseason, and having a skill set and talent that could be superior to Blaine Gabbert's, or they wouldn't have kept him these 3 years, and developing him like they did develop Patrick Mahomes. Remember, he sat for a year. They developed him, and they're like, this guy's ready to go. Is that what Andy Reid sees in Shane Bouchel? Does he see a player who does not have game experience, but he sees as ready for the job? It's a big question because it's not really typical of Andy. He likes that veteran backup quarterback. Now, as you know, Bouchel came in second on Saturday night. He came in the second quarter and was perfect. 10 out of 10, 105 yards, had the long touchdown run, 15-yard touchdown run that looked a little Mahomes-esque. The Chiefs rolled 38 to 10. It couldn't have been better. Bouchel would say afterwards, it was a great opportunity for me to be the second quarterback tonight, quote, and I was ready for it, unquote. And that is a confident player that has not played in a game, saying, planting his flag, saying, I'm ready to be Patrick Mahomes' backup. Now, again, nothing against Blaine Gabbert. Blaine Gabbert's a known commodity. The fans obviously want Bouchel. Everybody at this point is like, the unknown is always more popular than the known when it comes to if you have a quarterback controversy or a position controversy or whatever. Like, you know, we know what Travis Kelce is at tight end, but we really don't know who the Chiefs' leading receiver will be. The hope is that Kadarius Toney is that guy, but he's always hurt, whatever. We always like the unknown. You root for the guy that you just got, the draft choice, the whatever. That's just the nature of fans. So there's a natural tendency for fans to say, we've watched Blaine Gabbert for several years in the NFL. We like Blaine Gabbert. He's a backup quarterback, fine. But what if Shane Bouchel is like star quality backup quarterback? And Mahomes goes down, and Bouchel just comes in, and you don't miss a beat, and you just go, 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 go. That's the hope. I can't tell you I know. I can't tell you I know from watching Saturday night. But I can tell you for 3 years I've thought, boy, this guy has everything you could possibly want in an NFL quarterback. Do the Chiefs owe him anything? Not particularly, but if he's really talented, you would like to see him get in a situation here before his first contract expires after what? 5 years is his third year, that he gets an opportunity to play in a couple of games, showcase it, so maybe another team would sign him. He'd have a chance to be a starter. There is no future for Shane Bouchel in Kansas City. There isn't. His only future here would be back up to Patrick Mahomes. And I've yet to meet a quarterback that would accept that for an entire career. At some point, Shane Bouchel, if he stays here, is going to leave on his own and say, I've got a better opportunity to play somewhere else. That's going to happen. That's inevitable. So you may be rooting for him to become an opponent of the Chiefs. But boy, he's a likable player. You got to like the way he plays. You got to like the way he attacks the game. There's a lot to like there. There's a lot of talent and a lot to like. I got a friend, Mike, who went to SMU and just loves this player and loved him in college. And by all accounts, he's a young but maturing kid who gets it. And at the very least, was absolutely ready to run with the twos on Saturday night and made the most of it. And fits the mold of everything here in Kansas City. Is he showing and demonstrating those tools in practice, and Andy's ready to make the switch and say this is our number two? I don't know. You know, I was thinking over the weekend, they may want to cut Blaine Gabbert to save money, but it's only $1.1 million. It's just not that much. I assumed that they signed Gabbert to something more like $3 or $4 million to be backup, as they once famously paid Chase Daniel that money. But they didn't. They got Gabbert on the cheap, so it will not be a money issue. This is going to be Andy doing whatever Andy does. So we like that. On the defensive side of the ball, the Chiefs couldn't have played much better. It's a terrific effort. It's hard to gauge. Preseason, Cardinals, they stink, the whole deal. Of note is the top two players for snap count, the most plays played by defensive players for the Chiefs, were the two K-State guys. The cornerback, Echo Boydo, undrafted, came into the gong show, as they call it, tried out. This guy was a terrific college player that just made play after play after play. But that's college. He's fighting for a roster spot. They played Echo Boydo 49 snaps in this game. And he looks like he's a nice player. Whether he makes the team or not, I can't tell you. But I am happy for this young man that he's got that many snaps on tape, because if the Chiefs don't keep him, he's going to get snapped right up by somebody else. And if the Chiefs don't keep him, that's going to be quite a statement on the secondary and the talent they have at corner and how they feel about it. Because they're playing him a lot. They are taking a long look at a player that they had not previously taken a long look at. This is not somebody they looked at great length and thought, hey, we should draft him, whatever. He's a guy that came in and tried out during the gong show, and they said, let's give him a look. And so they're looking at him in practice. They like it. Now they're like, let's wear him out. Let's play him 50 snaps. Let's see what he's got. And they did it. Pretty interesting. Can't really draw anything from that other than they're very curious about Echo Boydo. Do we want this guy on our team? Felix Anudike Uzama played 43 snaps. That was the second most of any Chiefs defensive player. And most of those started with the twos in the first half. He will not be as up to speed as George Karloftis was last year, but there also is not likely the room for him to do that. Like, the Chiefs really needed Karloftis to plug and play last year, and he did. And as you recall, it took a few games, and as the season went on, Karloftis got better and better and better, and we expect great things from him this year. There's just no reason to not expect him to be an impact player this year. For Felix Udiki Uzama, it could take a little longer. Could take a little while, but he's getting a lot of snaps, and it's a crash course. I would say that in a best-case scenario, they would love for this guy to be starting by the second half of the year, or at least playing a significant number of snaps and being productive at it. And that would be that'd be great. If he's doing that by November, that would be terrific. So keep your eye on that. A lot going on here with the Chiefs as they have one preseason game to go, and then it is on September 7th. Woo! Yeah, against the Detroit Lions on Thursday Night Football. Also in sports this weekend, it is worth noting that Bobby Witt Jr. is just a flat-out stud. The debate is over with the Kansas City Royals about Bobby Witt Jr. The debate is over whether this is a star player or not. He is. It's done. Put it to bed. He has turned the corner this season, just his second full season. He's got his jersey hanging in Cooperstown for being the only player ever to have 20 home runs and 20 stolen bases in his first two seasons. I think he's got a great chance to be a 40-40 guy someday if he wants to keep stealing bases, which I think he will. I think that's a big part of his game in his 20s. I don't know that it will be. This would probably have to happen in the next 5 years. If he's going to do 40 home runs, 40 stolen bases, probably has to be in the next 5 years. But this guy is unbelievable. They have a stat called F-War. It doesn't really matter. You know these baseball metrics people. This is the wins against replacement thing. This is the value of a player. Okay? They have a metric in baseball, the value of a player, not pitchers, a position player. Number one is Shohei Ohtani. Well, we know this. By watching baseball, we know the value of having Shohei Ohtani on your team, because it does get worked in that he pitches. Everybody else is just a player that doesn't pitch. So Ohtani is number one. Mookie Betts, Ronald Acuna Jr., and Freddie Freeman are 1 through 4. The number five player in Major League Baseball this year is Bobby Witt Jr. And we saw it again on Sunday. He went sliding out into the outfield, making a catch on a pop-up that the left fielder and third baseman couldn't get to. This guy runs like lightning. He does a slide catch, pops up, and throws back to first base to try to double off the runner. Didn't get him, but boy, it was close. And it was just one of those plays where you're like, I'm watching somebody different. I'm watching something special. And so we know this now with the Royals. They got a guy They got a guy to build their team around. They need pitching, but they've got a stud. He's a quiet guy. He's not a great interview, but this is going to be his baseball team. This is being handed off from Salvador Perez to Bobby Witt Jr., and this is his baseball team. He has at least 5 more years left here in Kansas City. I think at some point they'll try to sign him to a long-term deal. I would do it now. You're trying to pass a stadium vote. I'd do it now. I'd say, would you sign an 8-year contract, which would make you a 10-year player in Kansas City? Whatever that number is, I don't know. You backload it. You give him a signing bonus. You pay him more now than he would get as a third-year player. You pay him more during arbitration than he would get during arbitration, and you eat up 2 of his free agent years. I don't know. We're in an era now where we're talking about so much money that you just can't turn it down. You really can't. There was a time and place the players say, nope, I just want to get to my free agent years and see how much money I could make. That was the way to do it in baseball. I don't think that's the way anymore. I think if somebody's offering you $150 million and you're 23 years old, you better take it because you don't know if you're going to break your leg. You don't know if you're going to get hit with a fastball in the eye and never see right. You just don't know. It's guaranteed money in baseball. In football, you have to make the team every year. You don't have to in baseball. Once it's signed, it's guaranteed. And I think the Royals are in a position where they could do this. They may want to wait another year. I think that's a mistake. I think if you could get to the table this year, you know what you have. This is done. You put this to bed. This guy's a stud. He and Patrick Mahomes are the defining figures in sports in this town the next several years, because I don't know how long Bobby Witt will be here. I'm going to assume the Royals are going to find a way to make him a 10-year player here. So this is it. This is the Patrick Mahomes, Bobby Witt Jr. era in Kansas City. And this guy is not Patrick Mahomes, but he's damn close. He's the 5th best player in baseball in his 2nd year. They got one. Make fun of the Royals all you want. They got this one right. Frustrating part is we see it in a guy like Brady Singer. He's been so good since the 1st of June. He was the Royals pitcher of the year last year. He's been great at home. And then he goes this weekend to Wrigley and has a bad outing. Goes out on the road and is not good. He's got to find consistency. Got to. Royals lose on Sunday. Jordan Lyles goes the distance. The guy's 3-14 this year. Jordan Lyles has 3 complete game losses this year. Only the Royals. It's true. Hey, we went to Billy Joel on Saturday night. It was awesome. We were their friends from Tickets for Less. They're good people. Really, really nice folks. And I hear from so many of you about Tickets for Less. I got an email from a dude in Arizona that was getting, he lives in Arizona or has a second, well, he's in Arizona. And he got his tickets for the Chiefs game through Tickets for Less. I get emails all the time from you and you love their service. We got our tickets, bought our tickets through Tickets for Less. It's very easy, very simple. And then they were like, hey, you're coming to the show. Why don't you come see us? Whatever. And so we hung out with them. They've got a VIP area and all this cool stuff. We had a great time at the Billy Joel concert. If it's not your thing, I won't bore you a whole lot with the show. I'll just tell you, my buddy Cato loves Billy Joel. I love Billy Joel, but my buddy Cato really loves him and his wife. They had a great time. And I had low expectations because 4 or 5 years ago when Billy Joel was at Kauffman Stadium, it was just okay. I'm like, well, the dude's almost 70 years old. It was just okay. And he didn't really seem to have much, and he didn't try to sing the high parts. He had backup singers doing all that. And I thought, well, you know, and I said to Rob many times over the past couple of years, we play him while golf is on, we have music playing or whatever. He goes, man, I love this guy. I said, dang, I wish he could play like he used to play. Because we've seen him many times going back to like the 80s, okay? And this guy was a baller, man. He used to get up on his piano. He'd jump off his piano. He'd run around on stage. He'd play piano faster than anybody ever saw. He'd sing his brains out. Really, really talented guy. And his shows were energetic and exciting and just raw energy. And so my expectations were pretty low. Stevie Nicks was fine. She comes out and does her thing. She can still sing, but it was pretty sleepy, to be honest. And then there's about a 30-minute break before Billy Joel comes out. Now it's dark, and of course, the headliner always gets better lighting, bigger stage, better sound, the whole deal. And this dude came out and just freaking crushed it. Billy Joel has lost 75 pounds. He has not had a drink in 3 years. His voice is all the way back. He sings the high part. He crushes the piano. It was 97, 98 degrees for a high on Saturday. Very hot all night, 74 years old, 2 hours and 5 minutes, ran around the stage, sweated his butt off wearing a suit. Man wears a suit. He had dress pants on, a shirt, and then a jacket. Never took the jacket off. It was amazing. He fired most of his band. They're gone. He's got two people that I recognize, the sax player and the backup singer that plays the bongos. She's awesome. She got to sing solo. He brought a guitar player in that's an opera singer, and he sang like a minute and a half of opera. And then later, this dude grabbed the microphone and sang some Led Zeppelin in the middle of a Billy Joel song. It was wild all night. 11 members on stage. The band got younger. They got hotter and faster and louder and more crazy. It was wild. I was blown away. He has not played like that since the 90s. Honest to God, he has not been that good in 30 years. And, you know, there's a lesson in some of this about maturity and life and things like that. The dude's a rock star. He said it 1,000 times. Billy Joel's biggest issue probably was drinking through the years. He crashed his motorcycle. He's had a couple DUIs. He drank prolifically after shows, would drink a little wine on stage, probably have a couple before he went out there, but was a prolific drinker, partier after shows. And apparently he just stopped 3 years ago. The weight came off. He feels better. He sounds better. His shows are incredible. They did a thing with We Didn't Start the Fire. And if you don't know this song, it's probably 75 different historical events are mentioned in the song. It starts with Harry Truman, Doris Day, Red China, Johnny Ray, South Pacific, Walter Winchell, Joe DiMaggio. And it goes on and on and on. And the stage had four giant screens behind him. And it was like a giant iPhone with an animated hand swiping from one screen to the other on the iPhone with each one of these historic figures. And it was just kick ass. It was so cool for an old man show. I mean, seriously, it was so cool and hip, and they were blasting. And he got up and he stood there at the microphone for that song. He, in the past, has needed either a teleprompter or a book to remember all the words to the song. He did not need that on this night. That's a hard song to sing, and he just crushed it. And the delivery of it and the production, sensational. I'm very happy. If you get a chance in another city to see him on this tour, they have a few more dates. I think they only had like 10 or 12 dates with Stevie Nicks in football stadiums. We were lucky to have one here. He's got Minneapolis left. I think he's got Dallas left here in the Midwest. Phoenix. It is well worth it. It is well worth it if you've never seen him and you've ever liked any of his music. So thanks to our friends at Tickets for Less for that. I got an email here from, I told him I wouldn't use names, so I won't. This fella says, I want to commend you on one of your sponsors for service above and beyond what was expected. My youngest son has braces through Fry Orthodontics. He lost both of his retainers. Hey, been there. The kids are going to lose them. They're going to lose their retainers. This just in, the kids will lose them. They do free retainers for life at Fry Orthodontics, by the way. So he said, we called Fry to get him in as fast as possible to get his replacements. We live in the Northland. They said the only place they could get him made really quick was the Raytown office. Come on down. So we went there. We were fitted, treated by the staff. Great. We were told to come back in a couple hours to pick up his retainers, but we couldn't. He had football practice, and we couldn't do that. I explained how we couldn't get them until tomorrow due to my son's practice. One of the hygienists overheard us explaining this. Her name was Narissa. She volunteered to take the retainers home with her and then swing them by the Northland office the next day because that's where she lives, and she would be working in that location. So she literally took them home, took him to the Northland location, which is 5 minutes from our house, and we picked him up the next morning, and he had his retainers. Dr. Jeremy is the best. He also hires the best people. Thank you, Narissa, and Fry Orthodontics. I love that story. Good stuff right there. I had dinner with Mark Lindquist on Friday from 360 Document Solutions. Went out and had a little bite to eat. Talked for a couple of hours about sports, politics, life, you name it. He is a great dude, man. He is a great dude. And sometimes I, as I've told him, you know, he's probably the most difficult sponsor for us here because it's business to business. So that's a limited audience. So for many of you to, you love to use our sponsors, but for many of you, 360 Document Solutions doesn't really apply. You don't own a business or whatever. So we had a long discussion about that, and it becomes difficult for me sometimes to explain to a business what he can do for your business. So what I would tell you is this is a really interesting and unique guy with a lot of energy, and he's really smart. You should meet with him. If you have a business, you should call him and say, can you help my business? Just give him the chance. He's got a wonderful company. They do copiers, printers, phone systems, voiceover, IP. They have great customer service. They'll work in most places in Missouri, everywhere in Kansas, and big parts of Oklahoma. It doesn't matter which small town. We were talking about the Marion County. We'll talk about this in a little bit. The Marion County newspaper, he's got clients in Marion, Kansas. I'm not going to name his clients. He's got clients in Marion, Kansas. Small towns, little businesses, big businesses in Kansas City, hospital chains, car dealerships. You name it, they're great for you. Apartment complexes, funeral homes, construction companies. You can all benefit by calling 360 Document Solutions, 913-745-5344. Dr. Bill Bush is my new dentist. He should be your new dentist at North Kansas City Dental, online at nkcdental.com. He's an award-winning dentist and a dentist to the Chiefs. Give him a call. Make that appointment, 816-471-2911 for North Kansas City Dental. Okay, on to the news of the day. And I turned the news on Sunday night. I'm not really sure why. It was 9 o'clock last night. I was flipping around. I was watching the Sunday night football game. And I'm like, oh, I wonder what the actual, we were in the pool most of the day yesterday. And it was great because we were in the water. So we really didn't know how hot it was. We knew it was a hot day, but we didn't know how hot because I'm in the water, right? We actually watched the air show from our neighborhood pool. The air show out in Gardner, they were flying out close to us out over Olathe, which was not far. We could see the Blue Angels. We saw it all. It was really cool. Now, it wasn't as good as if we'd been there right next to it, but I'm going to tell you something. Cold beer in the water at the pool watching the air show from a long ways away, pretty good Sunday. So we had a nice Sunday, and we came home, and we showered, and we're like, ooh, yeah, it was hot. 9 o'clock news comes on. I wonder how hot it was. They start the news with 5 minutes of heat-related stories. Record heat. Oh, my God, watch out. Take care of your pets. Be careful everything you're doing. Record heat. What they didn't say was it was record heat index. Don't ask me what heat index is. My theory is, and I've been around these people my whole life, meteorologists, newscasters, media, I'm going to bet heat index is not nearly the same today as it was 10 years ago, that the formula is different, that something is different with it. So I watched the first 5 minutes, and they never said the temperature. They didn't give it. Now I'm on my phone looking it up. What was the Kansas City's official temperature is KCI. That's the way most cities operate. What is the temperature at their airport? They have great weather stations there, National Weather Service, whatever. So the official, are you ready for this? After watching 5 minutes of news where they told me it was a record 118 degrees heat index, after I'd been out in it for 5 hours at the pool, 118 degrees heat index, record heat. The high temperature was 94. And they wonder why we watch everything and read everything in media with great skepticism. Do you believe it was 94 degrees and the heat index was 118? Do you believe that? I don't. Oh, don't tell anybody. The high temperature in Kansas City was 94 on Sunday. Oh, they're calling for 102 today and 105 tomorrow. They'll keep doing that. My phone called for 105 yesterday and we got 94. This is a complete and utter freak out. It's hot. It's August. We have more than a month of summer left, folks. More than a month of summer left. Officially, it's supposed to be hot. You can't believe anything anymore. They're freaking out in LA because it rained. They say, well, Los Angeles only gets 1/100th of an inch every August. When that happens, they say they're in a drought and it's dangerous and it's climate change. Then a hurricane comes up the coast, which, by the way, was lame. It was a lame-ass hurricane. Los Angeles got 5 inches of rain. Okay, that's a lot for Los Angeles. They have a terrible system in place there. They don't capture any water in California. It all runs off into the ocean. If we want to do something about drought conditions, farms, water supply in the Southwest, let's start capturing water. Let's build a couple more dams and a couple more lakes, and let's capture this water. They don't. They don't want to build anything. They don't think it's climate-friendly. So what do they get? They get flooding. They don't have proper drainage. They don't have proper storm drains because it doesn't rain very often. They're like, we'll just deal with it when it happens. So they're dealing with it. 5 inches of rain is a problem. In Phoenix, Las Vegas, San Diego, LA, it's a problem when it rains hard. It is a problem. I'm not saying it's not. I'm sorry if I don't have any sympathy for Los Angeles having a rainstorm in August that they weren't ready for. Whatever. I haven't seen yet that anybody's dying. There's some flooding. Sorry. Some businesses are affected. Ooh, how many people are hanging out in Palm Springs right now? Not very many. That's where people in LA go in the wintertime. But they're not there now. It's all second homes. Oh, no. Palm Springs has some flooding. What are we going to do? Vegas gets rain, they complain about it. The rest of the year, they complain that Lake Mead is too low. Then it rains, they complain about the rain. I'm sick of all of it. ABC ran a story last week about the Maui fires, saying climate change did not cause the fires in Maui. We now know this was men that did this, men and women. Incompetent liberals running a state caused death because of fire in Lahaina. That's a fact. This will not be debated. Nobody's going to jail. Nobody's going to prison. These people were inept. They were clinging to their green stuff and were not prepared for the worst. They had power lines that spark because they, instead of fixing those, they were putting all the extra money they had into green ways of finding energy. It's the whole thing's a joke. You know how this works. I'm sick of all of it. 94 degrees on Sunday here. I'm sick of the record heat. I'm sick of hearing it. It was 94. I cannot say this loud enough. It was 94 on Sunday. Downtown airport, 96. They didn't give the temperature on the news. They never gave it. They wanted to talk about 118 heat index and record heat. I don't know what record heat is, but it wasn't Sunday. It was 4 degrees hotter Saturday. But then they continued on Sunday like it was worse because apparently the heat index was worse. It's so dishonest, folks. That's really all you can say is it's just flat dishonest. Here's something that is not dishonest. I look, this is a controversial figure, but I at least like people who say things and stand for something. Brian Platt is the city manager in Kansas City, Missouri. Lead story at the Kansas City Star right now is about the downtown airport. There are multiple private projects in downtown Kansas City where they want to build skyscrapers, or not big skyscrapers, but 40 or 50-story buildings that would be condos or apartments. There's a lot of money to be made by doing this. 16th and Broadway has a 42-story apartment building wanting to be built, but the Federal Aviation Administration will not let them. It's too close to the flight path of the downtown airport. So there are things going on downtown that are halted because of the airport. The city manager says, if we want Kansas City to be great, if we really want to do this right, we should consider closing the downtown airport. Now, this sounds like a 1 in 100 chance that that's going to happen. The downtown airport has more takeoffs and landings than KCI. The business community loves it. The affluent love it. People that come into Chiefs games love it. Learjet, your Learjet crowd loves that airport. Good for them. If it's halting something good for Kansas City, we got to figure something else out. What I've said all along is there's no real good place downtown to put the Royals. If they're going to build a new stadium, there's not a great place. What about where the airport is? That would remind me a little bit of Pittsburgh. What if you built a ballpark and a walking bridge over to downtown, to the River Market or whatever? Built your village around it. You could have a pretty nice view from there and see in the stadium, see downtown from the outfield seats. Is this a thing? Is there any, should the Royals halt right now and say, wait a second, we didn't know that anybody in this city thought there was a chance we're closing this airport. If they're serious, if the city manager is like, hey, we really need to consider this down the road, maybe we should consider it now if the Royals are wanting to build a downtown stadium. I don't think it's viable. I don't think it's feasible. I think the airport, again, it has more traffic than KCI. I don't see how you close an airport like that. I don't know what the alternative is. There's a lot of ifs, ands, and buts and things going on here. But I found it very interesting that they would even consider closing the airport to build buildings downtown. That's not what I was thinking. If you're going to close the airport, you're going to build on that land. And I don't know how heavy a structure you can build there because there's a river around it. It could be considered a floodplain. You might not be able to build a stadium there. I don't know. That'd take engineering and all kinds of site inspections and things like that. I don't even know that you could build there. I'm spitballing here, folks, saying, whoa, Who knew that the Kansas City manager had it in the back of his head that maybe, just maybe, we should close that airport? KKHI is brought to you by Back 9 Development, online at back9development.com. Kansas City, Lawrence, Topeka, Manhattan, if you want to build, this is your builder. Even if it's downtown. Maybe it's an apartment complex downtown, apartment building. He can do it. This guy knows about all kinds of different projects, whether it's a custom home for you and your family or a commercial entity you'd like to be in business with. Back9development.com. Just call TJ. He's a great dude. And his staff's remarkable. 785-236-0161. Really anywhere in the Kansas City area. Lawrence, Topeka, Manhattan. Back 9 Development can build for you. 785-236-0161. Buck Roofing and Construction. Every time TJ builds a house or a building, Ron Buck puts the roof on for him. He's his subcontractor. Buck Roofing can work for you as well. Online at rbuckroofing.com or call 913-384-2680. You'll sleep well knowing Buck Roofing fixed the roof over your head. And I keep getting emails from folks who go to Advanced Medical Imaging online at medimageks.com. You do not have to wait 3 to 6 weeks for an MRI, folks, or a CT scan. Please remember this when your doctor says to get a scan. Get out of your hospital chain. Go to Advanced Medical Imaging. They will take your insurance just the same. They're online at medimageks.com. They will get you in today or tomorrow. It's legit. They will. Why would you wait? Create stress. No reason to wait. Jessica and I are 1 year in November, I think, since our plaque scores on our heart scan. We're going to go back this fall and do it again. See if I'm still at zero. We're going to plan on going once a year the rest of our lives to have our heart scanned. It's under $100. And it's just a great peace of mind knowing that you have nothing blocked. Pretty cool stuff. Online, medimageks.com. And, of course, our friends at Cross Kitchens KC, Kansas City's remodeler. Tim Cross and his family have a great business where he is on the job. Every single job, the owner is there. You know how few remodeling companies are like that? The owner is on every single job. CrossKitchensKC.com. Whether you just want to replace some countertops or you want a complete renovation of your home, CrossKitchensKC.com can do it all. 816-898-7047. Family owned and operated in Belton, Missouri. CrossKitchensKC.com. Trump's skipping the debate this week. I don't blame him. He's going to do a thing with Tucker Carlson live at that time. I don't blame him. There's no reason for Trump to debate. These people are running around like idiots. I'm not sure. The only reason I'm going to give you one reason I'm watching. One. I'll give you two. I want to see if DeSantis looks completely stiff and awkward, which apparently he is, although he's a great governor and probably would be a great president. He just isn't a great politician. And that's become clear on this campaign. He doesn't really connect with people. He's awkward. He's stiff. It's weird. It's hard to describe. I want to watch Vivek Ramaswamy. There are a growing number of people that believe this will be Trump's vice presidential choice. Vivek Ramaswamy will be the smartest guy on stage. He will have the proper answer to everything. And I think if you poll people, instant poll or whatever, they're all going to say he wins this debate. Now, problem he's got, well, not everybody knows him. The problem he's got is he's expected to win the debate. When you're up there with the clowns and losers that are going to be on that stage, and it is a collection of clowns and losers. It is. Chris Christie running around calling Donald Trump a coward for not being there. Chris Christie, you're a POS, buddy. I'm just going to tell you right now. You're awful. You're just awful. You're a liberal running in this thing, doing their work for them, so you get a bigger contract to work for ABC News. That's all you're doing. That is all you're doing. So ABC can say, oh, we have a Republican here on the set. You're not a Republican. Get out. Get lost. A couple of these other Berg and what's the business guy? It looks like a parody. It looks like his commercial looks like it's a joke. It looks like a Saturday Night Live sketch. They're letting them all on stage. This thing is a joke. There is no reason for Trump to be there. I'm 100% with him. Don't support this debate. And the one clown, Asa Hutchinson, says, yeah, he needed to take the pledge that he'd support the nominee. To be on the debate stage, you have to pledge that you'll support the nominee. Trump has already said, I'm not doing that pledge. He said this week, he says there's four or five turds up on that stage that I'd never support. Losers. So I'm with him. I wouldn't either. I would not vote for Chris Christie. I just wouldn't. I'd either write somebody in or just not vote. I'd just be out. Honestly, I wouldn't support that guy. No chance I'd vote for Chris. Zero chance I'm voting for Chris Christie. Zero. Not happening. None. Never. Not with a gun to my head. No, not doing it. So I'm with Trump. But in order to be in the debate, you have to say you're going to support the eventual candidate. Asa Hutchinson, who nobody knows, this guy comes out and says, I'll take the pledge. And they say, well, what about your dislike for Trump? And he goes, I'm only taking the pledge because I know Trump is not going to be our nominee. It's going to be one of us at the debate. Really, Asia? How about I bet you, $50,000 on that one? You want to take that bet? Good God, these people are so bad. How are they part of our party? What an embarrassment. There was an airplane flying at Rehoboth Beach, Delaware this weekend, while Joe Biden is on vacation in Lake Tahoe. Oh, he's extended his vacation. He's zipping to Maui for a day. So since he has to go do some work in Maui, he's going to take two more days in Lake Tahoe and extend it through Saturday now. So he's going to take the whole week in Lake Tahoe. Apparently it's too hot, you know, in Delaware on that beach there. So he's in Tahoe on another nice extended vacation. Meanwhile, at his beach house in Delaware, an airplane, you know, when you see the airplanes flying over the beach when you're on vacation and it says parasailing, call this number, or, you know, Captain Morgan, the spiced rum, whatever. The sign flying behind the airplane over Joe Biden's house, beach house, said, prosecute Hunter Biden. And then it gave, you know, the reasons and some other, it said some other, it was a little too wordy, but it had stuff on it. It's being flown by Suarez, the mayor of Miami. And it says on there, text, you know, one, you want to see this keep flying, essentially. Text $1 to my campaign and we'll keep this airplane in the air around Joe Biden's house. My question is, can they even fly it when he's there? Can they fly that close to his house? I'm not sure they can do this while he's on the beach or when he's at home, but they're doing it now. And it's funny. Honest question. Do you think Joe Biden knows about it? Do you think anybody has shown Joe Biden the airplane flying over his house that says prosecute Hunter Biden? Jason Chaffetz, former congressman, has written a piece, opinion piece, Five Signs Joe Biden Won't Run. And he is proclaiming what I've said all along, is that Joe Biden will not run. I still don't think Joe Biden's running. I hope he does. I don't think he is. Among the reasons Chaffetz gave, one, he has no staff organized yet for a campaign. Two, he's visiting all the wrong states. He's going to reliably red states. If he was going to go out west, don't go to Utah, go to Nevada. Go someplace that's politically good for you. He's in places that are of no help, that are not in play. And he's pointed that out. So he's doing this traveling. He's given speeches, but why in these states? He's in the wrong states. And then the big one of the five is that all he's doing is covering for Hunter Biden. He says the more he covers, the more this goes on. They're going to be out. He'll just get to a point where he backs out and then pardons his son for any and all things. And he believes that that will be the coup de grace there for the Biden presidency. Marion County, Kansas. You know the newspaper story. The police went in and raided it, took all their computers, and said they were illegally obtaining information. We now have the information from the police. It's been released as to what occurred. They claim reporter Phyllis Zorn, okay, the reporter Phyllis, either lied or impersonated Carrie Newell, the restaurant owner, to gain information about her. As she was trying to obtain a liquor license, she had a past DUI 15 years ago or whatever. The husband and her, Carrie Newell, the restaurant owner, apparently is going through a divorce with her husband. The husband was concerned that she's going to get a liquor license for her restaurant and she shouldn't even be driving. Apparently she had driven his car for a few years when they were married without a license. And so he's basically outing her, trying to stop her. It's a nasty divorce. What we have is a small town nasty divorce. The husband wants to out her and keep her from having any success, right? So he's, it's vengeance, whatever. He's going after her, vindictive. So what does he do? What gets leaked? Well, some of her information, her driver's license number, her date of birth, other information that if you go onto a computer, you can then gain information about this person and their driving record. So the reporter Phyllis Zorn got this. She apparently went online with Carrie Newell's name, her date of birth, her license number, registration, and all this other stuff, and logged on to a public access website to gain information about Carrie Newell. That's what the police are alleging. This is either lying to gain information or illegally obtained because you impersonated someone. Many of these sites say, you know, they have a disclaimer before you can advance. I am this person or whatever. I don't know that this did. If there was any kind of a box on anything she logged into that says, I am this person, this is me, whatever, she's committed a crime. There's little doubt. Now, if there wasn't one of those disclaimers or boxes that you check to continue, I accept, you know, it says I accept and you click the button. If there weren't any I accepts, it becomes a gray area. And the attorney for the reporter says she still committed no crime. She went onto a public access website and looked up whatever she could find by getting in there. Well, I don't know. You say you're somebody else. Use somebody else's name. If I go on and do, I don't know, the friend you can't mention on the podcast, I plug in his name, his date of birth, his licensing information to gain information on his driving record and maybe back taxes that he's paid or whatever. I go on Kansas public website to get that. I'm impersonating him. I'm lying. I'm not that person. So I don't know. We'll see what happens, but I understand what it is that they went after. The affidavit says that Phyllis Zorn, quote, impersonated the victim or lied about the reasons why the record was being sought. And that's what the case is all about. $300 million worth of border wall materials have been sitting doing nothing since Biden became president. We have now learned over this weekend that Biden is selling the parts. He's selling them. They've sold, $300 million worth of border wall materials? They've sold for $2 million. That's your money. Just pissed away. If you're going to do that, just give them to Greg Abbott. Just give all of it to Greg Abbott and say, do what you want with this stuff. Try to do what you can. It's there. What's it hurt? We really are at odds in this country. Two completely different philosophies on the border. Quite remarkable. Our final is brought to you by Roberts Robinson, Chevrolet Buick GMC. I got another email this weekend from somebody who got a new truck at Roberts Robinson, Chevrolet Buick GMC. They also have I don't know if I'm supposed to mention this or not, because I talked to Mike Robinson about this a couple days ago. They have the Dodge Chrysler Jeep store there too. It's just a couple blocks away, and we don't ever talk about it here. So maybe it isn't just Chevy Buick GMC. I mentioned one time about a year ago, and I still get emails from people. Is your guy a Jeep guy? Is he a Dodge Ram guy? I'm like, well, sort of. Yes. They have that dealership in Excelsior Springs too. So just shoot me an email. I can't really talk about them here, but if you're looking for supporting these folks and you're in the market for a Dodge Ram Jeep, email me. Anyway, robertsrobinson.com is the website. Chevy Buick GMC, they've got low interest rates back on some Chevy Silverados and some GMC Sierras. Low financing, as low as 0.9%. Jump on it, baby. Call my man Tim at Roberts Robinson, 816-826-1563. Advantage Termite and Pest Control is online at AdvantageTPC.com, the only company you'll need for residential or commercial. We've been with them over 20 years. Spider season is right around the corner, right? We're going to start seeing spider webs all over the place. Advantage is at 913-768-8989. And MyPillow.com. You're not sleeping well? Try new pillows, new sheets, new blankets, all the great stuff they have at MyPillow. And the MyStore.com, if you use promo code KKHI, you get the biggest discount they offer at MyPillow, KKHI. Because you probably won't remember the one you see on TV or elsewhere, but you can remember KKHI. Please use the promo code any chance you get with any of our sponsors. They're all listed on one website at thekklist.com. It's the KK List. Thekklist.com has all of our sponsors in one place. If you would like to be on the KK List, go there, click on Join the List, and it'll connect you with Jessica, and she'll get your company set up and put you on the list. We'd love to have you there. Our final is, well, it's regular season for the fans. It's preseason for the players and the refs and the broadcasters, but it's regular season for the fans. This was proven this weekend when the Broncos traveled to play the 49ers at Levi's Stadium, where an unbelievable brawl broke out. It was one of the best fan fights you ever saw. It was a little scary. There were a couple of women and a couple of kids around it. There are more kids at preseason games than regular season games because the tickets are cheaper and it's just more low-key. But apparently not in San Francisco. And this was a throwdown. There was a Bronco fan at the center of it. Surprise, surprise. Talking smack, which Bronco fans should not be doing at all. And it led to a melee that wound up with Niner on Niner hate. It just went from one to another. One guy got bloodied up a little bit. It looked like the people around them were all okay. But it's regular season for the fans too. Worth pointing out as our final today at Kevin Keatsman Has Issues.
Thanks for listening to Kevin Keatsman Has Issues, presented by Roberts Robinson Chevrolet Buick GMC. To get exclusive patrons-only podcasts, receive a weekly newsletter, and attend in-person patrons-only parties, visit kkhasissues.com and become a patron today. This has been a production of Crooked Tail Media Incorporated.